I had a Rebbe, I had great Rabbi. It was so outstanding, I don't even know how to describe them. But Nissen Alpert came to the yeshiva. She was on the Yitzhak Chama, Yeshiva University. He came actually as a high school Rebbe, which was really, I thought, rather fatuous. He was a goyim, a veritable goyim. He was someone who basically knew Kala Torah Kula, and he was a Talmud Muvak of Moshe Feinstein. That's how. That's what I discovered early on. He was Mishamish of Moshe Feinstein. I myself saw it many, many times. Mishamish means he literally ministered to him. We were taken to Moshe Feinstein's Zatzal, that he was Moshe many, many times by my Rebbe, Nissen Alpert. That was enamored of Rabbi Nissen Alpert, and even more enamored of the Gaon Hador, and I wasn't in a position to really evaluate what he was all about. But I saw a little bit through the prism of my Rebbe, Rabbi Nissen Alpert. Rabbi Nissen Alpert was a tremendous machadish. Unfortunately, he passed away a very young man, in his late 50s, relatively a very young man. And many years, a number of years after, I asked Moreno Rabbeinu, Hagoyin Davar Lichsin, that's all, what he thought of Nissen Alpert. You know, I do these things. And so he told me, Bezal Oshin. He said that Nissen Alpert was a Cheftza of Shtikul Torah. That's Davar Lichsin's language. A Cheftza of Shtikul Torah. You know what that means? Everything he said was a Shtikul Torah. You spoke to him about something in the New York Times, he had a Shtikul Torah. You spoke to him about a piece in the Siddur, Shtikul Torah. You spoke to him about Mumbus, obviously he had a Shtikul Torah. There was not a Sugi in Shas that he was not familiar with, and he had a Shtikul Torah for everything. You spoke to him about literally what's going on in the world, he came with a Shtikul Torah, with Lumbus. Unbelievable. I want to share with you something I heard from him that left a massive impact on me. And those of you who are learning Brachas, I think I heard the Shana Alves learning Brachas, and I have to say, we come out of every Shia, because of my Rebbe, Rabbi Goldschmidt, I always say something in Brachas to make it feel good. only several people catch my Muslim over here. The Gemara says in the fourth parak of Brachas, the Gemara tells us that the Avos, we're talking about Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, you know, they introduce, each one introduced the Tefillah. What did Avraham Avinu introduce?
Shachris.
What's the marker for Avraham Avinu? Ah, we have to allocate. Oh, you didn't get the fourth parak yet, did you? Okay. Cannot hold you responsible. The Gemara says that the makar of Avraham Avinu and Shachris is a pasuk.
You know the
pasuk? Yeah. Vayashim Avim Baboker, but that's not the word that the Gemara actually uses. That's the pasuk. El Amokam Asher Omad Shomas Bnei Hashem. The word Amida is the word that the Gemara says refers to the Tefillah of Shachris. Excellent. What about Yitzchak? Yitzchak said the Chayisara. The end of Chayisara. Vayetze Yitzchak, Losuach, Basode, Lifnod Arav. Excellent. And that refers to the Tefillah of Mincha. What about Yaakov Avinu is in this week's Pasha? Vayitka Babakum. Look at the Pasha Vayetze, if you have the Chumash in front of you. Second Pasha. Vayetze Yaakov Bershova, Vayelach Arana, Vayitka Babakum. So my Rebbe was concerned about these three verbs. Namely, the verbs that the Torah uses are very poignant. The word Omad, with reference to Avraham Avinu, the word Lasuach at the end of Chayisara. You want to see that? I can show it to you. Look at the end of Chayisara. It's always good to see things in context. This is when Yitzchak actually is about to meet Rivka. It's in Perek Chavdal Pasuk Samach Gimel, page 55, in this pagination. The word Sicha. And then, here, as we saw just a moment ago in our Pasha, by Yaakov Avinu, by Yitzchak Bamakom. My Rebbe felt that each Tefillah was unique. As you know, Shachris is different than Mincha, Mincha is different than Maariv, but the verb that the Torah utilizes, he felt, was very saturated with a tremendous meaning. Let's start with Avraham Avinu. The word that Avraham Avinu is associated with is the word Amida. What is the word Amida?
Stand.
But it actually, the term La'amod means to stand in a very strong kind of way. There are other terms actually that describe standing. I'm not going to get into all them right now. But the term Amida generally implies a very anchored kind of person. Someone who is standing in a very strong kind of way. Someone, if you will, has tremendous perseverance. Someone who stands his ground despite all the difficulties that he encounters. Chazal, as we mentioned this Chazal a number of times, Rashi quotes it actually. Rashi says that Hu me'eber echad, the kol ha'olam kulam me'eber hasheni. Avraham Avinu literally was on one side of the world, and the entire world was on the other side. Why? Because Avraham Avinu was the one who discovered Hashem. He discovered Hashem through the constellations by examining the symmetry of nature, the majesty of nature, of the universe, the handiwork of the universe. That's pure Avraham Avinu. And that, of course, indicates that he clearly was someone who was able to take on the entire world. That's what he did. All that is embedded in one verb. What verb? Amida. Asher Omad Shom Es B'nei Hashem. And that's the tefillah of Shacharis. To a large extent, when we think about the tefillah of Shacharis, Shacharis is the tefillah that said, in the morning, when we are bright and bushy-tailed, we wake up, and we are obviously ready to face the world, to confront what is happening, and the light. So that's the Amida reflected in Avraham Avinu. And the Rambam actually has a beautiful description. We read part of it actually once in Perek Alfons of the Zohar. It talks about how Avraham Avinu came to a discovery of Hashem Yisbarach and what he went about. I spoke about once, I quoted my other Rebbe, Ratzidok Kanatavki Zatzal, that he said there are three segments in Avraham Avinu's life, if you remember. Segment number one, he decided to go ahead, and once he came to the discovery of Hashem, he was so excited and so taken by it, he has to share it with everyone else. How do you go about sharing with everyone else when you're young? In a kind of classic kind of way. Busy breaking idols, and shall we say, pontificating and telling people, you don't know what you're talking about. Clearly you're, shall we say, off the path, off the track. That's the first step. He was not very successful using that pugilistic kind of approach. Why? Because we know that there was an attempt to go ahead and do him in. Namely, who wanted to do him in? Going to Chazal, going to the Medrash?
Nimrod.
And Nasa lo Nesa, Rabbi says he went to Choran. The second step takes a different tack. He's building mizbechos, he's building altars. The Rabban says the altars were the function of either tefillah, or if you will, they were kind of platform where he was philosophizing and preaching and the like. But even then he was not as successful as he was when he came to the third level, Teretz Yisrael, where he was essentially a practitioner of chesed. He opened up his home, par excellence, to many, many people. And as a result of the chesed practice of Avraham Avinu, he was eminently successful, and he had actually, the Rambam says, alafim revavu shel talmidim, thousands and tens of thousands of students who gathered around him. Even though ultimately these students basically disappeared, according to Asol Vechik and others, the fact of the matter is he was very successful in terms of chesed. As you just mentioned, I've already spoken about it a number of times, there was a woman who passed away here, Rebbe Tzimachlis, Zichron Lebracha, who was a powerhouse of chesed. I don't know if I can even begin to describe the chesed writ large that this woman performed. She actually is a mother-in-law of a Rebbe who was in the yeshiva, Rabbi Roman Willick Shlita. I don't know if you know Rabbi Willick. He actually came here a number of times. And I cannot begin to describe the kind of chesed that this woman did in the last several decades. Every Shabbos, there were between the 50 and 150 people in her home, which probably was about the size of this room. Exactly how she fit all these people in, I guess it must have been the Mishnah, Omen Tzufim, Sakhman Vachim, something along those lines, all these Nisim. But as a result of the chesed she did, she was Makari, literally, not tens, not hundreds, thousands of people. Thousands of people, the stories I heard in the last 2 weeks are just absolutely beyond belief. Okay, all this is embedded in the word Amida. Next, Yitzchak. What word, what verb does the Torah use when it describes Yitzchak? Vayetze Yitzchak, Lasuach. How do you translate the word Lasuach?
Converse.
But the term sicha generally is what kind of conversation? Using your noun, I just took the verb and made it into a noun. What kind of conversation would you say is sicha?
Everyday
conversation. I like that. What was that? Al time is sicha ma'isha, Mishnah Pirkei Avos. So what does sicha refer to, would you say? I would say probably since it's probably intimate conversation. Conversation of intimate nature. There are rayas of many Gemaras. The Rishonim talk about this, and the Achrenim talk about it. The Gemara Chagiga, the Gemara speaks about an apostle Magla other Masecha, Afilu Sicha Kala Benisha Ishto, Maginu La B'Shas Adin. And now, Sicha is intimate conversation. Essentially, the Tefillah of Yitzchak is really a Tefillah B'Hisbodidus. That means he was actually in an isolated kind of situation. And you know, the nature of Yitzchak is a very cryptic, mysterious figure. Incredibly so. Pachad Yitzchak. You know the term Pachad Yitzchak? The Torah actually refers to Yitzchak. He's someone, he's a korban, he can't leave Eretz Yisrael. He wanted to leave Eretz Yisrael. As we know in this week's Parsha, when the Rav came and Hashem told him, no, I'll tell him, Mitzvayim Eshchom Baretz Hashem Ha'alecha, Gur Baretz Hazos, you're a korban, Rashi quotes him, Olo Tzmima, you can't leave Eretz Yisrael. But Yitzchak is someone with a very, very cryptic personality. One of the most beautiful Netzivs in his Parashah La Torah, you know that Netziv. Unbelievable Netziv. You're familiar with it. Excellent.
Why is it?
You know which one I'm referring to?
Yeah.
Namely?
What about
Rivka and Yitzchak?
Oh, yeah.
About their relationship.
Why should he talk to him?
Unbelievable. We find very little conversation in the Torah between Yitzchak and his own wife Rivka. Isn't that astounding? How do you explain that? So the Netziv writes that at the end of Chayisar, when the Torah uses this pasuk, Hayetze Yitzchak Masuach Basodeh, Rashi quotes part of it. It's a long medrash. Medrash says that she saw his hands outstretched in tefillah. She saw him as an awesome personality, which he was. He was a korban. He was an olah tzmima. Pachad Yitzchak. And she was so mesmerized by what she saw that she, as a result of that, was so awed by his saintliness that she could barely have any kind of real dialogue with her own husband, Yitzchak. The Torah does not record much dialogue between Yitzchak and Rivka. Is there dialogue between Avraham Avinu and Sarah Imenu? There certainly is. Is there dialogue between Yaakov and his wives? There certainly is. With Yitzchak and Rivka, the dialogue is minimalistic. And the reason, says in the Tziv, is, as you indicated, because of the relationship was already, to a large extent, framed by the initial encounter. And the point is that Yitzchak is a very cryptic. The Zohar speaks about Yitzchak in terms of his kasus. He's hidden. He's simple. We don't know much about Yitzchak. There's an aura about him. An aura which is an unbelievable kind of aura. So the term Sicha, said my Rebbe, very much reflects that personality. The personality of Yitzchak is embodied in the word Sicha. And now the third example, of course, I think the best example. How do you translate the word Vayivka b'Makom? I would like to translate it literally. And he bumped into the place. That's a little translation. Look at that beatific smile. Vayivka b'Makom. He bumped into the place. What's up, Shadi? He bumped into the place. The answer is, Yitzchak's entire life consists of skirmishes and bumping. Yaakov drives in bumper cars. He's into the bumper car mode in a very serious kind of way. Every single event with Yaakov Avinu is bumper car writ large. I have it in me. I don't know if you don't know me so well. But I have it in me. A number of years ago, do you know there are bumper cars here in Israel? You wouldn't believe it. I had to look for it. I decided to take my grandchildren in bumper cars. I explained to them what it is. They didn't have a clue. And I said, we're going to drive in cars. Kilo. Of course, that was exciting to them. They're always looking for action. Come on, show me, Paul. Action. Zemilabi Vrit, you understand it very well. So I go and found that, I don't want to tell you where it is. And then they get into the cars, and of course, what did I succeed in doing? Basically crashing to them left and right. I frightened them out of their wits, a little bit more. But they're like Chayos HaKodesh. You know Chayos HaKodesh? What do you put the stress on? The Kodesh or the Chayos? Chayos. You know Chayos HaKodesh on? We say it in the davening. What do we say? You remember? I say, Baruch Hashem. What? How does it go? The whole family, Bechayis HaKodesh, Barash Godol, Bistas Divim HaSrofim. I think it's in my davening every day, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, so the Chayis HaKodesh, that's what they call the people here, the little people here. Chayis HaKodesh. Never heard that expression. What was that? It's in the Kedusha of the Kriyachas Kriyashma. But is it also in the other Kedusha?
It's in Kelado.
Kelodo. What's a Kelodo? Excellent. So you guys are good. It's found in a number of places. Okay, great. Anyway, even there's a steer of Nehu Bay. How could you be Kodesh and Chayos at the same time? The answer is Tzvedinim. So it's possible to have brisk. Everything's brisk. Anyway, so it's possible to have both operating simultaneously. Anyway, I basically bumped them out of their existence. Not Montgomery, but... Being that I was a bit more skilled in bumper cars, I haven't driven a bumper car in 35 years, but I got a kick out of the whole thing. Anyway, so it happens to me from time to time. Under the influence. Anyway, so back here, Vayivka b'Makom. Every experience that Yaakov has, he's bumping into people. Give me what I'm talking about. Let's start from the beginning. Yaakov against?
Esau.
Esau, for sure. Yaakov against?
Laban.
Yaakov against? Only, you mentioned that already. Only two events?
Yosef.
Yaakov and Yosef. Yaakov and what? The Masar Shal Esav. Next. Val Shal Esav. Next. I'm sorry?
Memorial.
Who?
This situation.
Which
the
one?
Mountain. He bumps into the mountain.
Okay, but you've got a bucket to say there. What? The Baal Shal Esav. Good. Okay, there are five or six skirmishes. Yaakov is constantly skirmishing with people. That's what my Rebbe said. It's all embedded in what? The word Vayivka. Unbelievable. Okay, so now I want to show you something else that my Rebbe said while we're at it. I'm reading the psukim at the beginning of Vayetze. You see Vayetze? Vayetze Yaakov Be'ashova Ve'el Charona. You perhaps don't have the same kind of feeling, but I do. Whenever I leave Eretz Yisrael, and it actually began when I learned here in Eretz Yisrael. I learned here in Eretz Yisrael in Tavshin, Lamed Aleph, Lamed Beis, 1971-72. Shalom Aleichem. How are you? Nice to see you.
I apologize for you.
No, I have to apologize. Baruch Hashem, that you came. That's a great thing. It's a schluss for me. I appreciate it, really. Hashem should bless you. Vayetze Yaakov, Be'er Shova, Ve'el Charona. Better late than ever. A rabbi of mine used to say. Anyway, so Vayetze Yaakov Be'er Shova Ve'el Charona. So when I left Eretz Yisrael in 1972, I had to go back to America. Of course, for me, it was the Yerida L'Tzorach Aliyah, as the Ramban writes in Chumash and Parsh Vayigash, and the Mishnah writes in Makis, the whole sugya in Makis about the Yerida L'Tzorach Aliyah. You know that sugya? It's also one of the Hoshana Rabbah. He said actually one of the Hoshanas. Okay, but that's anyway a separate story. So I fell in love with Eretz Yisrael in 71-72. Mamish fell in love. And from then on, I had a dream. I'm going to come back and live in Eretz Yisrael. I didn't know how I was going to do it before I got married. Not long before, but before I got married, I couldn't imagine how I was going to come back. Baruch Hashem and Baruch Shalom and his kindness and his absolute boundless kindness enabled us to come back to Eretz Yisrael. So the pasuk says, Vayetze Yaakov Be'er Shova. So how did I go back? I was crying the entire plane ride on the way back. That's how much I was impacted by Eretz Yisrael. What I gained here, I didn't gain, and it had, even though Baruch Hashem, I knew what the Black Gemara was like, trying to come to Eretz Yisrael, unlike others. Anyway, but I had a good idea, good sense of what it was. I'm not referring to anybody specifically, just in general. So I had an idea, but Chazos, what I gained here, I began to recognize what Kedusha was, what connectivity to HaKadosh Baruch was all about, what it means to be a Resh Shamayim, what it means not to be Messiah Das. I never understood how Salvation used to talk in the following way. I was learning in the middle of the night, 2 o'clock in the morning, and I was stuck with a difficult Rambam. I'm breaking my head trying to understand the Rambam. It is now 4 o'clock, 4:30 in the morning. I cannot decipher the Rambam. All of a sudden, I feel the Shechina is breathing on me. That's how I used to talk. I was having a date with the Shechina. Only the Rav can have a date with the Shechina. When I first heard that, I thought, I'll tell you what I thought. I was 12 years old the first time I heard it. I knew that people go on dates. A date with the Shechina? Are you familiar with dates with the Shechina? The Rav had dates with the Shechina. When I came to Eretz Yisrael, I began to understand what Rav Soloveitchik was talking about. So when I left Eretz Yisrael, I bought a sefer that I have not looked at since. I don't know exactly where it is in my house. It's about the beauty of Eretz Yisrael and the Kedusha of Yerushalayim and the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. I read it the entire, and tears were streaming down my eyes the entire way. I was dreaming, how am I going to get back to Eretz Yisrael? Will I ever come back? Is it just a dream? So here we have that description, said my Rebbe, Rav Nissim Halper now. Look at the psukim. Vayetze Yaakov Be'er Sheva. He leaves Be'er Sheva in the prime of his life. Vayele Charona. Charona, as you know, what did Chazal say about Charon? Charona represents whom? When you think of Charon, whom do you think of? Who lived in Charon? Laban and company. How would you describe that, shall we say? That group?
Less than tasteful.
Wow, you are politically correct. All the way. Beautiful. I would call them the following. Shysters of the first order, full of every evil, cunning skullduggery that one could possibly muster. But you put it much better than I did. Less than tasteful. I love it. I would say they were jejune, insipid, absolutely beneath contempt.
Canadian.
What was that?
It's Canadian.
Ah, oh, that explains that. No, they're Canadians, right? I'm telling you, Canadians are outstanding. They're so sweet. The ones that we have in the Shiva, always. It's always been that way. They don't, unfortunately, they're only 30 years behind the times. It's not their fault. Baruch Hashem! I say, thank God for that. Where do you live exactly?
Toronto.
I know, but where in Toronto?
Richmond Hill. Yeah.
Richmond Hill?
Yeah.
Ah, you're in the new neighborhood.
Yeah.
Baruch Hashem.
It's
where do you dive in there?
Chabad.
Excellent. Yeah. Which rabbi is, which Chabad rabbi is there?
Rabbi Bernstein.
Oh, yes. I need my Kirat Kula. Don't worry. I fought with all of them. Anyway, don't mind me. It's the truth. Bayer Charona. Charona represents Charon Av Shel Mokom. That's what Chazal Medrash. Charon Av Shel Mokom is the anger of Hashem is there. Because of all those shyster characters that I mentioned, less than tasteful types that you spoke about. Bayer Kaba Mokom. So here we have Yaakov Avinu, a picture of someone forsaken, forlorn, leaving Eretz Yisrael in the prime of his life, leaving his parents, leaving a Makom Kadosh, going to Haran where he's unknown, not appreciated, and as a result, Vayivka Makom, he bumped into the place. So what Chazal said in the Medrash? The world was like a wall to him. A wall to him. Vayon and Shom, what Chazal say here? Vayon and Shom, the sun set before its time. You're probably familiar with that Chazal. Vayon and Shom, Kibu HaShemesh. And what does he have to do? He needs protection. So he can't use the security guards over here, because there aren't any. What does he have to go ahead and use as security? You know, the Ramban divides the world into four classes. They are Domein, Tzomeach, Chai, Medaber. Domein, of course, are inorganic manner. And then Tzomeach, a vegetable kingdom. And then Chai, animal kingdom. And Medaber, what the Rambam is the quote from the Arab philosophers, Muta Kalimun. Muhammad Dabrin, because we have Logos, Homo sapiens, have logos, the ability to speak and to think and to articulate ideas. What does he do? He has to take the lowest, literally, the lowest class as his protection. Essentially, Yaakov thinks he's going to die. Yes?
Was he totally alone? Did he travel by himself?
We're asking, did he travel with Malachim?
Or anyone like...
You know, I'm not a man into angelology. You probably know that. I'm a terrible litvak. Everyone travels malachim to Gemara. All of us are coming malachim. Ki malachim yitzav malachim l'shvarach l'chol d'vachecha. You say that in the Navi. There are two Gemaras. The Gemara on Shabbos, elsewhere. We're coming by malachim all the time.
We're all people.
People.
Wow. People.
What does it look like over here?
No.
I agree with that.
But
looks to me, he was alone. He was, if you will, a fugitive from whom? From Esau, who was pursuing him. That's a simple pshat, I think. And Yaakov thought it was all over. So what has kept the Jew alive? So my Rebbe said, one thing has kept the Jew alive, Vayachal, the dream. The dream of coming back to Eretz Yisrael. That is what's kept us alive. Of course, Mistama, what does he dream of? Mesula Mutzav Arza, Rosh Magia Shamayma. Means Yaakov is basically the prototype of a Jew in Golos. Even though most of you don't see that, you think everything in Golos is absolutely hunky-dory, and you're living in a paradise. I think it's paradise lost, but whatever the case is, in a paradise. And you see yourself as being in Gan Eden Atachto, and that's how Jews see themselves. Toronto is a classic example. They call Toronto, my days, Yerushalayim d'America. The Jerusalem of North America. You ever heard that expression? Maybe not in Richmond Hill. But I'm just saying, trust me, in the other part of Toronto, talking about where I lived, North York, they thought it was Yerushalayim in South America. I pray for their souls. Anyway, Vayachalom, v'nei sula mutzavarza, v'osha magi ha-shamayma, v'nei malachei elokim olim b'yodim bo. So what has kept us alive? We are essentially, we're on the ground, we're on terra firma, but our heads, where are our heads? In the Makom HaMikdash, where we Makriv Korbanos, when they're told a different reality. So my Rebbe read the Psukim. I just wanted to share with you at the outset. I see it's more than the outset. But anyway, just share with you those Psukim, because I heard this probably 45 years ago, if not longer. It has not left me for a second. And this is what accompanied me to Eretz Yisrael. And when I left Eretz Yisrael, and I was thinking of these psukim, and Adayom I said, "Baruch Hashem, 21 years ago, my wife and I think I mentioned it here, we had a vote in my family. I'm a democratic person, very democratic. You call it democratic authoritarianism. You know what that is? I'm a Democrat who's also an autocrat. So a lot of crats. Anyway, so we had a vote. And the vote was 9-1. And who prevailed? The one. So my children always tell me, Abba, we were a bit on the young side. How in heaven's name, what kind of a vote is that? I said, that's a democratic vote. I voted for you. Zochin the other, shlep b'fanav. A halachic concept. So, okay, that was by way of introduction, and by now I want to get to the main topic at hand, which is really what I want to talk about today. I just want to share with you psukim, and I want to see how you interpret these psukim, and I'm now going to share with you a shtickel tera. I hope it's a shtickel tera. Psukim that are very difficult. I don't really have enough time to do justice to them, but I'll try my best in the short period of time that we have. You recall that Perek Lamed, Pasuk Aleph, page 70, Pasuk Aleph, Perek Lamed, Vatera Rachel, ki lo yolda liyakov. Rachel, she has no children. Vatkani Rachel Bachosa. She's jealous of her sister. Everyone happy? Vatomer el Yaakov. Now look at this dialogue that the Chazal and Rishon talk about in great length. She says to her husband, Havali bani, give me children. Be a mine, if not, Esau Nochi, I'm going to die. What do you say to that language? Would you not say it's a bit on the rough side? A woman speaking to her husband, but obviously.
It's the Gemara. Four people who are considered dead. Some of them children born.
Shh. Meridik. Meridik. May Hashem bless you. You're 100% right. A woman without children. By the way, since you mentioned this, I thought you were going to also go further and contrast it with Psukim at the beginning of Parshas Toldos. But I have no time to discuss it. Namely, the word Anochi. Yim'ayim Mesa Anochi. This reminds me of a pasuk at the beginning of Toldos. Namely, what did Rivka say? Whatever the pshat in there is. Bayomer. What did she say? Atomrim came. Lamazeh Anochi. Why am I? We should have a field day with those three words. But one simple pshat is, if my children are going to die, who am I? What am I? Existentially. Correct? You know existential philosophy? You're probably familiar with it. Camus and company. Anyway, the same idea is found over here as Sam pointed out just now. Okay, I want to read further. How does Yaakov respond? He becomes angry at her. What am I, in place of God? That prevented you from having children? And Rashi comments over here. You're probably familiar with Rashi. Mona mimek, says Rashi. Ani yeshli bonim. I have children. Mimek mona, but love you, many. It's your problem, not mine. Wow. Could you imagine a husband speaking to his wife like that? I hope you can't imagine it. And I hope it never happens. So what happened? So the Torah says, she says, I'm giving you bila. The key word is anochi. I don't want to get into it right now. I have a whole lot to say about that. But that's not my issue right now. I will be built through her. What is in heaven's name is a shakamataya between Rachel and Yaakov? So Rishonim, press Rashi. I only quoted you part of Rashi. I'm not going to go through the whole thing. The Ramban, he's the key man over here. The Ramban is the following kasha. What? Tzadikim don't daven for others? Elio and Elisha, do you remember whom they daven for? Strange women. Noshim Nochrios. And here we're talking about a husband. Should a husband not daven for his wife? What do you say? From Toronto, you certainly have no problem with that. You understand. And maybe from New York, they have some difficulty. But you don't have that problem? Baruch Hashem, you still have that beatific smile. Like a Cheshire cat. From year to year, Baruch Hashem. And I don't understand. Yaakov's response to her, instead of being Matthias' wife, appeasing her, speaking to her very softly, very gently, what does he tell her? My father! Or rather, Abba lo yulo bani. That's why he prayed for himself. I have children. I don't have to ask Rachamim for you. What in heaven's name is going on here? And the Ramban quotes a Chazal. That's how you respond to women who are in straitened circumstances, who are desperation. So I want to tell you what I think the pshat in this whole Shaka Vazari is. And it's based on a Gemara. The Gemara says that Chazal tells us, it's a Gemara actually in Yevamos, but found in Midrashim, that why did Hashem make all the Imahos? Why were they barren? Why did they all had difficulty having children? Or the Obos? What?
You wanted to get
in that. Exactly what Eli said. HaKadosh Baruch Hu misavah the tefillah of Shal Tzadikim. Hashem wants to hear the tefillah of Tzadikim. And the Gemara says, the Gemara Yevamos says about Abu Seinu, and the Medrash says about Imahos, but it's the same idea. Now Rashi, there's a famous Rashi, I'll show it to you in Vayera, if you have the Chumash in front of you, Perek HaBalev, Pasuk Yud Zayin. If you recall here, the context is one where Avraham Avinu is compelled to drive away whom? From his home? Yishmael. And now they're out there, and there's no water, and of course they are in a state of desperation. Pasuk Yud Zayin, Vayishmael Elokim Eskol HaNar. I'm sorry. Perek Chafalo, Pasuk Yud Zayin, page 45, in the pagination of the Retzal Moshe. One thing I accomplished in Yeshiva, I taught the word pagination. So at least that I accomplished. Well, Hashem, I can tell. Anyway, Vayishmael Elokim Eskol HaNar. So Hashem heard Kol HaNar. Vayikom Malach Elokim Elohim El Hashamayim. Malach Ogar Al Tiri Kishem Elokim Kol HaNar Vashem Usham. So Chazal Rashi quotes it over here. Mikan Shiyofet Tfilah Sachole. That the tefillah of the Chol himself is much stronger than other people davening for him. And that tefillah will be heard by Hashem before he hears the tefillahs of others. So there's a Gemara Brachas. Oh, I think you did get to this Gemara. Daf Hey, did you not get to this Gemara? What's on Daf Hey? The Gemara tells the story of Rabbi Yochanan became ill. So who came to visit him? Rabbi Chanina. He took his hand and he lifted it up. Do you recall that?
Flashlight.
So what does it mean? How did he lift it up? With a flashlight? No. That Gemara then discusses the flashlight, but say that. But what does it mean exactly? What did Chazal say? What did Mishayim say? B'tfila. That he was mispala. So the question is, why can't Rabbi Yochanan lift up his own hand? So the Gemara says, Ein chavush mater atzmo b'beis hasur. What does that mean? A person who's in prison can't free himself. So on the contrary, what do you see? The opposite. That someone who's mispala for others has a greater ability than someone who's mispala for himself. Isn't that a steer to this Rashi? I'm asking you to learn brachas not him at all. What?
Does seem like a steer.
How would you answer the steer?
Tzvedinim.
I'm sorry?
Tzvedinim,
correct? Mizrahi is the kasha. Mizrahi, Rabbi Leo Mizrahi. What? Well, no, the Tzvedinim are the following. Rabbi Yechadon, because he was ill, was not able to have kavana. His feeler was of a, shall we say, a very weak nature. A shvacha tzvila. But where a person cannot kavana, there's no question. Which tefillah is more significant? The tefillah of the Chola himself? The person who is sick, certainly he should daven. And his tefillah is much more powerful than the tefillah of someone else about it. I'm sorry?
I think it's the opposite. You're praying for yourself or praying for someone else. That's like you
got. Okay, now one can answer, maybe that's what I thought you were referring to, that maybe the Gemara in Brachos actually is talking about Rechanino Ukme, when he lifted up his hand, it was not necessarily through tefillah. There's no question that when Rashi says Yofet Tfilah Sacholim Tfilah Sacholim Olav, that's true. But the Gemara Brach is not talking about tefillah. But whatever the case is, it's clear that the tefillah of Acholav Ben Pashtus, Hashem listens to his tefillah more than he listens to other people who are davening for him, because he's the one who's in, shall we say, in the wretched state that he is. And so his tefillah is clearly much more profound, of much more profound nature than someone else who's davening for it. Would you not say so? Ben Pashtus. That's what I would say so. So I want to answer with this the Kasha the Ramban and Rashi. So Yaakov apparently, and this is a shikul Torah, I hope you don't mind. Yaakov apparently held that since the whole tachlis of the imos being akaros, being barren, was in order they should daven, and Hashem wants davening, which is the highest of possible kavana, and therefore Yaakov tells Rachel, my father had no children, that's why both of them were in need, and both had to daven, but I already have children from another woman named Leah, so only you, Rachel, you alone are really the nitzrach. And what's the reason why you're in Akara? In order that Hashem should hear your davening, he wants to hear your, shall we say, your heartfelt filah. And therefore Yaakov decided that I'm not going to be misbal for her because she's the one who leads Yeshua, and the tefillah of Echol Alatzmo is much more powerful than the tefillah of Acher Balav. You hear what I'm saying? To me, it seems pashim shot. And a matter of fact, Unkelus, if you look carefully how he translates the pasuk, this fits into Unkelus. But I want to show you that this is also psukim in Tanakh. Let me just finish this idea. If you remember the beginning of Sefer Shmuel, who did not have children?
Chana.
And the pasuk says over there, V'chiasata tsarasa gam kas. Babur harima. Who was the one who, shall we say, was plaguing Chana? Penina. She's called the Tzara. Tzara means another wife. But the pasuk says over there, she was trying to provoke her. Kisaga Hashem biyad rachma. And then it says, v'hi maras nafesh. She was bitter, and she's davening to Hashem, and she's crying, she's pleading, she's imploring Hashem for children. What exactly is going on here? So the answer is, the Taz, I think, writes already in his parish on Vayetze, he quotes this these series of psukim over here, and the Taz, as a sefer al-chumash called Divrei David. So the Taz says over here that we find Elkanah, he didn't daven for Chana, for his own wife, she davened for herself, because since, in effect, he already had children from Penina. And there's a Gemara in Baal Basra. The Gemara says in the first paragraph of Baal Basra that Penina was mechavin l'shem Shamayim. When she provoked, shall we say, who? Chana, her kavanah was l'shem Shamayim. Why, says Rashi over there, Baal Basra, I think it's not that Tazayin. The Gemara says because she wanted Chana to daven with a whole heart and soul, to implore Hashem from the depths of her heart. So that's the pshat over here. The chiyasata tzorosa gamkas babu arima, that the tefillah of a chole is absolutely so powerful. Someone who's in a desperate strait, his tefillahs are more powerful than anything could possibly be. By the way, was Penina punished?
Yeah.
Oh, she was. What happened to her?
All
the kids died. So it shows that even though the kavanos of Hashem Shamayim, but when you do something like that, Chmanu Litzlan can be punished. By the way, was Yaakov Avinu punished? Of course he was. Chazal take him to task as well, because you don't respond to your wife, even if your kavanos are with all the shtikal teru lomdus, who becholz us. You don't speak to your wife, you don't speak to anyone in such a fashion.
What was his punishment?
Okay, the whole discussion in Medrash. What exactly was the punishment of Yaakov Avinu? But the lashon of the Medrash is kach onin esamu'ukos. I just want to show you, aderech hapshat, I would even say here, the psukim, that you are, we just read before. Havali banim, Bachel says to Yaakov, give me children. I mean, she wanted Yaakov to daven for her, but she added the Yemai Mesa Nochi, which Sam said earlier, but I would just perhaps even add to that, that she will literally die Merov Tzar. As you mentioned correctly, a woman who's not Zogah to have children, Ein Lecha Tzar, Godel Misa. There's no greater Tzar than someone who's not Zogah to have children. Anyway, my whole point here is simply to underscore the Koach HaTfilah. They say over, and this actually, I went looking for this. I don't know if I can find it now. But I went looking for this. I'll be, the Koach HaTfilah is mind-boggling. Of course, you have to believe in Tfilah. You have to be a mamin with Tfilah. If you're a real mamin Hashem, I went to the Rav Soloveitchik say, unbelievable. He said he doesn't understand how anyone can commit a chet. How anyone could do an avera. So I wanted to raise my hand. Rebbe, it's not difficult. If he wants advice, or shall we say, answers how to go about doing it, I'll be glad to help him. And then he proceeded to say, to explain what he meant. He says, if one 24-7 feels surrounded by the Shekhinah, said the Rav used to talk, 24-7 you're surrounded by the Shekhinah, how in heaven's name can you commit an avera? If you're a real Mami Bashem, there's no way you can do so. Not possible. You hear? That's a Baal Madrega. So I attempted to aspire to that. Forget about it. Bracha Matala. But I will say one thing. I heard from a number of my rabbeim who were talmidim of the Biskov. Biskov was Rav Soloveitchik's uncle. He was an astounding person. Abel Soloveitchik. We really know him more for his lumbus than anything else. But he actually ran from Warsaw. Warsaw was captured by the Germans during the World War, Second World War. And at that time, Yibriskov, Abel Soloveitchik, was running, was a fugitive. The Germans wanted him. because of course he was a massive leader, Klal Yisrael, and they wanted to kill him. And the roads were literally strewn with all kinds of German murderers. So what did he do? So Marabayim told me, he was Talmidim of Yisrael, the whole time he was thinking, Ein Od Milvado. What does Ein Od Milvado mean? 24/7, what he was fixated and focused on whom? On Hashem Yisbarach. And as a result, he was zoche to come to Vilna through Nisan Gluyim. I can't go into all the Nisan now. We only have a minute or two left. Nisan Gluyim occurred to the Rizkov. Because Vilna was outside of the purview of the Germans at that point in time. If a person has that recognition, and I want to read from Chaim Volozhiner, recently one of my balabatim translated Nefesh HaChaim into English. Avinoam Frankel. What a masterful work. For 5 years he's been working at it. He's not a Rav. He's a balabas who works in high tech. He decided he wants to translate Nefesh HaChaim. When he came to me about 6-7 years ago, I couldn't believe that someone was going to translate Tari Nefesh HaChaim. You're familiar a little bit about Chaim Volozhiner. The Shara Tfila, the Shara of Rabbi Zinkin is very into Nefesh HaChaim. So the Shara Tfila and the Shara Talmud Torah are doable, but the rest is all Kabbalistic. Way beyond my ken. He has the following statement. He writes over there. This notion, She'ein ol milvado, Yisbarach shum koach ba'olam. The only koach that operates in the world is Hashem Yisbarach. Hu inyan gadol, hu skulo nifla. This is a tremendous notion. Lahaseh ol abatam yolam kol dinim, shalachem, shalo yuchlu lifol lo shum dova klal. If a person is totally and completely suffused with this idea of Ein Ol Milvado, that only the Almighty is operating, so a person can be surrounded by tzatzot, by mechonot yiriyah, by bombs and pagazim and who knows what, and he will not be affected. I'm not going to go into the details of this, but it's pashut to me that the Bishgod was zochet to Nisim Mufloyim, and it's also pashut to me that Klal Yisrael here and Yisrael is also zochet to Nisim Mufloyim. I have been living here for 21 years. I cannot, literally, in my wildest dreams, imagine how without Hashem Yisbarach we could still maintain our homeostasis in this country. It doesn't make any sense to me. The existence of this country is completely and totally irrational. There's not one rational, not a scintilla of rationality in our ability to maintain our homeostasis in light of the fact that we are surrounded by people who want to engulf us and envelop us and encompass us and basically obliterate us. It's amazing that in the last 2 days I've been amazed by the following. The whole world is now, of course, we understand why. The terrible carnage that occurred in France. The unbelievable, the dastardly act of that, what do they call that? Daesh, ISIS, whatever you call them. ISIL. I see President Obama has different names for them that he uses. So the world is going crazy. Crazy. When anything happens here, this one is stabbed, that one is stabbed, the third one is stabbed, the fourth one is stabbed, this shooting, that shooting. Not a peep, not a word. I'm not saying that we should not react. Of course we should respond. Of course we should react. Of course it's terrible. But there's no question in my mind. We have a world that's silent, and the only one who's with us is Rebbe Hashem. And at the end of the day, that's all we need. And if I am a mamim b'Hashem, which I am, Baruch Hashem, I see Ein Ol Milvado right in front of me. That's how Klal Yisrael is able to flourish and survive and be matzliach in Eretz Yisrael. That's the source of our strength. And that comes through tefillah. Tefillah is a very powerful weapon. Incredibly so. Although all of you should recognize that here we have the Yomim, 7 o'clock, 7:20, 8:05, whatever. This one comes in for Shemoneh Esrei, this one comes for Ashrei, this one comes for Aleinu, Baruch Hashem. I'm so chilled out. If they come for Aleinu, I'm happy. But if we were to realize the Koach HaTfilah and what we're able to accomplish with it, we'd be there from the Asara HaRishayim, Marim Brachas. You get to that, Eli? Asara HaRishayim, Kibbal Skak HaDegu Kula. I just quote Brachas. This year I quote Brachas, that's all I do. So Chabal Rabbi Goldschmidt's not here. Anyway, I like to give him Nachas. Let's appreciate the Tfilah. Let's appreciate the fact that we're in Eretz Yisrael. That we can, let's be mechazik each other, because there's no one else to be mechazik us. Well, Ochel Yomech Hazok, and a lot of that comes to the Koach HaTfilah, Halavai, we should use it. Realize Einol Bavado, and thereby, Ezra Hashem, Baruch, hopefully,